Welcome to A Wee Blether About, a podcast from the Academic Skills team at UWS. My name is Linda Riches and I'm one of the Academic Skills Advisors at the University. So today we're going to have a wee blether about something, don't think we've ever discussed this on the podcast, and that's numeracy skills. I'm joined by my colleague John. Hi John.
Hi Linda.
And also we're delighted to have a special guest today, someone who knows a lot about numeracy, and that's Alan Walker, Senior Lecturer in Mathematics here at UWS. Hi, Alan.
Linda, thanks for the invite.
No worries. So what we thought was we'll talk a little bit about numeracy, why it's important, how academic skills can help and when we can't, how we can direct you to lots of help and support at UWS. So we'll start off maybe just thinking a little bit about what numeracy is and why it's important. So, Alan, can you give us a sort of quick definition of what numeracy is and maybe times when that is important for students on their courses?
Certainly. Numeracy is not just an academic skill, it's most definitely a life skill. You'll be using information, data, mathematics, statistics all through your life and not just in your academic courses. So it's really just being able to be able to deal with numbers or data or even facts and graphs in a confident and coherent manner. So you may require numeracy in your normal everyday life when at the shops, working out your tax, working out how much you're going to have to pay, looking at the graphs which get sent through your letterbox whenever politicians are trying to get your votes. So being able to decipher information from graphs and see what type of story they might be trying telling you and working out what the real story is. In terms of our kind of academics, here you'll be looking at numeracy for calculations. So simple, for example, drug calculations for our nurses. If you're doing any sort of experiment, so maybe our psychologists, chemists, physicists, you might need to analyse that data. So that brings in a lot of statistics. For our computer science students, for example, an awful lot of shapes and movement, which of course is just mathematics and numeracy as well. And then our science and engineering students will be using things like kind of calculus in order to describe movements and stresses and strains. So from the very, very low point of numeracy of our adding and subtracting and multiplying and percentages right up to our complex mathematical calculus and all of the really neat stuff that we get to see in some of our mathematics degrees.
Yeah, it's interesting that you're saying that you know, the sort of range of having to use numeracy, because I think maybe there's a tendency to think, oh, it's just those more science and, you know, engineering and maths courses that use that. But as you've pointed out, actually for nurses, you know, drug calculations and things like that and lots of different courses, you're maybe using it without realizing it. So yeah, that's interesting.
The thing is actually probably what the nurses do is almost more important in a way in terms of looking at kind of drug calculations as to what the science and engineering students are doing.
Good point. The sort of life and death stuff there, yeah, absolutely. And that's maybe a good point to bring you in, John, just to sort of talk about, you know, in appointments, whether we get a lot of numeracy questions. They do crop up from time to time, don't we? And I think
we get a few. I mean, it's important to kind of recognize what we're kind of comfortable in terms of. We're not kind of math specialists as such, but you know, this is where, you know, it's always better to kind of ask about whether we are able to help you or not. And we'll talk about that. Alan will talk about the math support sessions that there are. I mean, I have had examples of, I think we're comfortable working on kind of like the presentation of numbers in assignments and just simple things like how you actually present numbers in terms of whether it's statistical information or whether it's non-statistical information. For example, writing when to write, for example, the number three. If you're writing an essay and you said there are three reasons why, you're going to write it in word form. However, if you're using things like symbols, like statistics, so if you've got percentage sign, degree sign, then you're going to write it in the Arabic numerals form, like that digit form.
Yeah.
Another thing we've had to help with, I think, is I think you'll recognise this, Linda, as well, kind of presentations, and especially of results and displaying those on a graph.
And yeah.
Working out what the best way to display that information is. I think it's really important to think about kind of whether you need, I mean, lots of just know about kind of bar charts, pie charts, line graphs, but they don't always choose the right type of chart to demonstrate true. That information.
Yeah.
And I think that's an area that we can support students with.
Yeah, yeah, you can see that a lot in dissertations sometimes where, you know, a pie chart will be used to show, you know, 100% of something, and you're like, not really much point in that chart, you know. I think part of it is how comfortable we feel. So I think, John, you're a bit more comfortable with maths than I am.
You definitely are.
But I think, yeah, certainly I'm comfortable speaking to students about just those things that you mentioned, but anything a bit more complicated than that, then I would feel a little bit out of my depth, whereas you may not. What happens if we're not able to help then? What can we sort of do? You know, is it a case you'd sort of said, you know, people just come and ask questions and we can try and point you in the right direction? What happens if it's something and we think, no, that's really beyond what we're able to help with?
This is where you can contact us through the skills inbox, through the email skills@uws.ac.uk, and we can make a decision then on whether we are able to help you within an appointment or within our resources. If not, then we'll signpost you over to Alan and the maths team and their drop-in sessions that they organise. So that's really, I think, the system that we're going with. I think it's just important that students ask questions and know that we can support between us and Alan's team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's something we would say for most things. If a student isn't sure, you can ask us the question and we'll try and point you in the right direction if we can't help. So that might be a good point to bring Alan back in. Just, Alan, can you explain a little bit to us about how the drop-in sessions are set up and how students can access them? Because I think a lot of students are maybe not aware of them.
Certainly. So we recognise that, of course, with the mathematics and numeracy and the increasing amount of statistics in many degrees, that a lot of students were coming to our office doors asking for help. So we decided to set up a 1 hour a week session, which is in this term. Obviously it moves around since we just book out a classroom. This term we are in F319 on the Paisley campus between 2 and 3. So how this works is we'll always have at least 2 academics in the room. It's not a formal taught session. Students drop into the room with specific questions that they've been working on through any module in the university, and it doesn't even need to be undergraduate as well. We often have postgraduates coming to us as well, normally for statistics help. We find that a big tranche of our students are looking for just, you know, what sort of statistical test do we need to do in order to try and interrogate certain data that they have perhaps created in the lab or from experiments or from questionnaires and such. For those students who are not on the Paisley campus, we simultaneously, while offering our physical drop-in session, we also have an online drop-in session at the same time. So then a third member of staff is available via a Teams link, again, just for dropping in and asking any questions. Math and stats online is a little bit more difficult than face-to-face, so do try it if you do want to help come in on our face-to-face sessions, but those online sessions are there as well.
Great. And what kind of reception have you had to these, and what kind of students are coming and what kind of questions are they asking you?
Oh, huge range. We'll get some of our maths degree students will use it every single week, just thinking, here's another hour I've got with the academics, whether or not they've got specific questions or not. But most of the time, it'll be first and second year science and engineering students coming just to get a little bit of additional help or maybe a different way of viewing a particular type of problem. You'll often get kind of bioscience students, psychology students, or any students that are trying to interrogate or display data. So really looking at the data science or the statistics point of view. So looking for help on, you know, what sort of average do I need to use? What sort of spread data do I need to use? How can I display this? You know, what is the difference between a bar chart and a pie chart or a scatter plot? And should the lines be joined up in my scatter plot or not? Some of these things are really important when it comes to displaying data, and students just want to get, you know, a little bit of expert advice on how well to present and analyse data.
Yeah, that sounds great. I feel like we've sort of uncovered a wee secret bit of help here, that you're going to have students inundating you now with requests.
That's what we're here for.
That's great. That's brilliant that you're there to help with that. I think certainly for students that come to see us, that would really make a difference for some who are struggling a bit with the sort of numeracy side of things, wouldn't you say, John?
Yeah, that's right. And I can verify because I've been to the actual session now, so I've kind of been an observer in the session. It always seems a bit of kind of like a hive of industry, people getting on with the maths in there, actually. It was quite, I wouldn't maybe say it was a relaxing experience, but it's definitely a welcoming kind of environment in there, and everybody's getting on with their own kind of calculations, but getting obviously the support of the tutors as well. So
Some of our students use it like a little common room at times, thinking, okay, here's a time where we can get together. I can speak to the students in the year above me or the year below me as well, just to sometimes when it comes round out of time for module option choices, when I say, oh, what's this module like? So building that little community is sometimes really, really helpful. And it's nice when students from other cohorts come in and see that we're not always the stereotypical mathematicians as well.
What's a stereotypical mathematician, Alan?
Hiding in a room with no windows, pencil and paper, and just working away on their own on sums. That's definitely it.
But that is the good thing about maths, actually, is that you get that peer review element coming out, or the peer teaching going on. And I saw that in the session that I went to as well. So you'll get students kind of helping each other out. And I often think that's the best way to kind of get better at maths and sort of really remember stuff, is to teach others about it and do that kind of peer and have that peer support. So, yeah.
You never really understand anything until you've taught it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. I remember doing a bit of maths teaching way, way back. And I remember the lecturer saying that to me, because I was like, I feel like I really have to unpick all this to understand it. And she said, well, you'll teach it better that way because you've had to do that. You've had to pull it apart. But it's good to hear that there's that kind of, it sounds like there's a nice little community going there, and it's a really welcoming space, because I think for a lot of students, and we find this in academic skills as well, the coming through the door and just asking for that help can, you know, be a bit of a barrier. So I think it's really good to know that that's there to help students. I think that's brilliant. So that's great, Alan. Thank you for coming on the podcast and telling us a little bit about it. Hopefully we can get the word out to students, and as John said, you know, if you're not too sure about accessing the numeracy support, you can ask us and we can point you in the right direction with that as well.
And I just say as well, we do have some resources on our website as well.
We do,
a lot of links to kind of external sources. The National Numeracy Challenges is quite a good website to visit, because that kind of collects a lot of kind of free stuff that's out there on the internet in terms of training on basic numeracy skills. So that's one thing worth checking out if you're a bit shy and don't want to access Alan's support. There is stuff that's out there.
Already. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, have a look at the numeracy page on our website, and then, you know, if you need more help than that, or it's a sort of different kind of inquiry, then, you know, do ask us, or, you know, pop along and see Alan and his colleagues there. So thanks a lot, Alan. That's been really enlightening. I feel like I want to go come along to one of the sessions now and just see what it's all about, and sort of take my fear away, because I think I have the sort of fear of numeracy, even though I probably use it much more than I think. So that's great. Thanks a lot, Alan. Just remember, everyone, you can also book a one-to-one appointment with us to chat about academic skills. Anything that you need to talk about and that's academic skills related, you can book through the student app or the academic skills website. And as always, we'd love your comments. So if you want to hear a little bit more about numeracy, if you want a different kind of podcast, and there's a topic that you want us to discuss, then just drop an email to skills@uws.ac.uk. Thanks, Alan. Thanks for coming along.
Good.
Thanks, John. Good to see you as always.
Thank you. Yeah, good to see you. Yeah.
Okay. Take care, everyone. Thanks for listening.